That was that shy friend of ours, Charles Barkley. Michael, how are you?
Nursing a cold, Nick, but I'm good. You know, I knew that Michael, with only one voice, and one of the few people in the culture and the world of sports who's willing to express the tough opinion. That's one of the million reasons I love Charles.
And that's what we're going to talk about today with Michael Wilbon from PTI, the best sports talk show on television on the planet. And I ain't joking. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Listen, let's first talk about why you think Charles is that rare commodity, because we're going to go to Michael Strahan and his comments. I experienced that firsthand. I'm going to talk about that in more detail in a second with regard to the New York media. And you and I have joked about the New York media, ESPN's preoccupation with Boston and New York stuff, you know, of course, the Yankees and the Red Sox. But let's first start with Charles. What makes Charles different that he has the guts to express his opinion and live by it?
Well, and those are the two things, Nick. First of all, he cares enough to have an opinion on things that are just that are not particularly sports related. I mean, Charles is one of those guys that I may get a phone call from at 1 o'clock in the morning because something has outraged him that he has seen. It could be watching the Discovery Channel. It could be reading some political, you know, piece of mail that he got. It could be something that has happened socially or culturally, particularly if it's happened in a community that Charles has some interest in. And it's one, having a curiosity, and two, caring enough to say what you need and feel to say without worrying about the consequences. And some people will say, well, Charles has said too many things without worrying about the consequences. I say just the opposite. Charles will say things he does consider the consequences, and he may say them anyway. And that's, you know, I just think that you have to have the courage of your convictions to say those things, and you have to have even more courage sometimes to stick by them when you face some withering criticism. And Charles is one of the few people in any walk of life who will do that.
And we're talking with Michael Wilbon from ESPN, and you're facing the consequences of having to deal with your throat. I apologize, buddy. I can
That's
hear
okay.
the pain in your voice, but listen.
I got to figure out how I'm going to do a television show later today for a half an hour. I haven't figured that out quite yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to tell you about what happened to me. When a team is losing in sports, you've seen it before, the vultures circle, and it's interesting to see who goes for the jugular and who is able to try to step back just a half step and see the bigger picture as well. So, of course, they're looking for who's going to start backstabbing who. And I remember I was on with Chet Kopic, who's been in sports covering on television and radio for many years, and I was asked a response from Deacon Jones when we were mired at the Jets. This is back in 1995. And we were in the midst, 96. We're mired in the middle of an 0-8 record. And the previous year we had the worst record in the NFL. And I'm just a lowly kicker trying to do my best. And I was asked, you know, what do you think about Deacon Jones' response to what he thought should happen with the Jets with Richie Kotite as a coach? And Deacon Jones said, in his inimitable way, I'd take a helmet if I was the coach, and I'd shove it up somebody's butt. So he asked me, what do you think Congressman Lowry, Chet Kopic, did? And I said, you know what? What I was trying to say was, we are losing. And when you're losing, you have to do whatever it takes, including peeling off a layer of skin. The idea was, you know, no matter how excruciating it is, when you're doing that poorly, you've got to find a way to commit. Somehow that interview was twisted into some indirect criticism of the team. Now, listen to Michael Strahan talking about what's happened. They've lost three games. They're 6-5. They aren't out of it, but they're in New York. High expectations. They definitely lost a game they should have won last week. Here's Michael Strahan.
Can't portray that way because that's the way you guys portray them. We've lost three games in a row. You're not going to do anything positive. That's not how you guys operate. You don't sell papers by being positive, okay? You just don't, especially when teams lost three games in a row. You don't sell paper by being positive. I read papers. I read papers every day. I read you guys every day. And you know the difference between me reading your papers now and me reading your papers 10 years ago is that now I know when I read it. 10 years ago, I didn't know when I read it. So now I can read your paper. It doesn't bother me because half is garbage. The only thing that bothers me is the fact that you mislead people outside this locker room when you guys spend more time with us than we damn near spend with ourselves sometimes.
That's Michael Strahan, and you've seen it happen before, Michael. How on earth do you make sure you don't fall into that trap as the journalist who is just another vulture?
Well, I don't think we, just like players, don't think about what's coming from the outside when they're trying to get out of a three-game losing streak. I don't consider what somebody might think of me other than, you know, myself, what my standards are. When a team like the Redskins, we can do that. We can take it right here, Nick, in your hometown area and where I live and work at the Washington Post. You know, there's nothing much positive to say about the Washington Redskins now. I understand Michael Strahan's frustration perfectly, and I understand the frustration of I'm a bad loser, Nick, and I compete at a lot of things. So I can only imagine what I would be feeling and how I would be lashing out if I lost three straight to my brother in golf right now. So when you're in a professional situation, and particularly as you have outlined when you're in New York, you're going to be frustrated. That is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to my readers. Now, the responsibilities the Washington Post feels are going to be different than the responsibility the New York Post feels. We're not the same news organizations. I may be looking, it's going to be a lot less flippant. It's going to be a lot less sarcastic. It's going to be a lot less snide. You know, I will write a critical column about somebody, but it's a different critical column than is going to be written in New York. That's just the way of the world. It's the way of New York City. You and I have talked a million times, and I've told you I love to be in New York City. I would not want to work in New York City for some of the reasons we're talking about now. But it's our job to be if we're being – Michael Strahan's 100% right about this. If we're being positive when a team has lost three straight, when they've got injuries, when they're sniping at each other, and by the way, they have high-profile players who are in the media. Michael Strahan has his own show.
He's got his own radio show.
On his own radio show and his own, he's on television, and he's great at it. He's terrific at it. So Michael has these two sensitivities. But my sensitivity has got to be to my readers and trying to accurately reflect and insightfully comment on what is going on at that time. I'm not going to talk about how great the Redskins are when they are 3-4-7 and thought they were going to contend for a Super Bowl this year. So that's not how this end of the business works.
Let's talk about the Michael Vick article you wrote for yesterday's paper. I was in Washington yesterday, and I loved it, and it's so
thank you.
Indicative of what happens, because here's a guy who 3 years ago, and even just 3 weeks ago, was considered still the toast of the town, where anything he touched turned to gold, and people understand that he is supremely talented, and yet in the midst of this losing streak of their own, suddenly he loses it. Tell us about what the message you're trying to convey in that article.
I think part of it is we rush to judgment so quickly, Nick, in terms of the public and media. Let me be critical of my profession now. When it comes to assessing what we think someone's career is going to be. And so when Michael Vick came out of college, we saw these extraordinary once-in-a-lifetime skills that people still haven't found a way to always connect to winning a football game. And I think what I was getting at is Michael Vick sometimes plays a whole lot better than his teammates. And maybe his teammates and maybe his coaches are not up to bringing the best out of him at all times. And I think there's some self-examination that has to go on in Atlanta about that. I also think it's difficult to coach him. That doesn't mean I'm agreeing with whoever City's a coach killer. It's difficult to coach him because we haven't seen that set of skills in a long time. And maybe you have all these factors, and maybe Michael isn't as receptive to some things as he ought to be. But I think to just sort of blanketly say Michael Vick is a disappointment is just sort of a lazy, you know, discussion. I think it's a much better discussion, a much smarter discussion, to try to figure out what we've got here. And maybe, Nick, maybe he's not going to be the great iconic quarterback we thought. Maybe he's going to have peaks and valleys, and we just have to live with it.
We're going to talk with Michael Wilbon, one of the more thoughtful people covering sports, in our next segment, just for a couple minutes, Michael, because I want to save your voice, brother. I understand that.
We'll
be joined by John. John Clayton's going to ride in like the cavalry to save you, brother. We'll be
back
with Michael Wilbon from PTI, and then John Clayton from ESPN, The Insider. You're listening to Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.